Chapter 14. A Long-Held Truth, At Last Revealed. The Iron Fathers were not alone when Medjuson met them. The gathering took place in the shell of a large auditorium, its roof lost to age and war. Broken columns of the Gothic style lay heaped about, appended by rubble and obscured by thick layers of dust. Evidently, it had been abandoned for some time, and whatever games had once played out inside its curving and artistically rendered walls had since faded to echoes of memory. Another lost culture had faded with it. Another world languishing in ruins like so many others, insignificant, unwatched. Medjuson did not know its name. Some he knew, but not this one. It had a designation, Grey Forge. There had been Black Forge, Dark Anvil, Silver Hand. They had spent them all, for each place would only be used once before it was discarded. If the galaxy keeps burning, all hidden places shall eventually run out. As he walked across the arena floor, his war council, the Primarch and his warriors in tow, Medjuson wondered if perhaps the auditorium would see one last game played to its empty, dilapidated stands. Kuleg Rort and the other freighters had brought a small army. Medjuson immortals flanked their iron lords as still as statues, armed with breacher shields and sheathed chain blades. Depowered, dull-eyed servitors slumped at rest behind them, their weapon arms currently dormant. Even in the low light of standing sodium lamps, which flared and buzzed irritatedly, Medjuson could make out Volkite culverins and heavy bolters amongst the cyborganics' armaments. Without needing to be ordered, Lumak and Mikosa moved either side of their war leader as he came to a halt.
"This feels mildly portentous," remarked Lumak quietly, hand resting on the hilt of his nameless sword.
For once, Neuros didn't chide him about it. The salamander stood nearby, distracted by the presence of the Primarch, who graciously waited in Medjuson's shadow, his own warriors as close to him as armor. Dalkoth kept his distance, seeing more from afar than he did up close. Org stood with Medjuson and took it upon himself to begin proceedings, though even he appeared to be surprised at the demonstration of force.
"Freighters, you have come to this gathering well protected."
"Yes," said Medjuson, stepping forward of Org. "Why is that?" Rort answered, not wearing his helmet this time, allowing Medjuson to see his face. It looked cold, resolved, which led Medjuson to wonder what might be coming.
"To meet again so soon after the attack," said Rort. "It was prudent to bring protection."
Medjuson gestured to the numerous vox baffles, signal dampeners, and blockers set up around the meeting place.
"You do not trust our technology to keep us anonymous and out of harm's way?"
"You have put us in harm's way," replied Norsen,
"indulging in a feud against the renegade Tybalt Mar."
"You won a great victory,"
said Kernag, conceding the point with a shallow nod of the head.
"But it is obvious that Mar goaded you. Can you say without any doubt that your judgment is not impaired for this very reason?" "I cannot." "We cannot," added Rort, and went on further. "Our position becomes increasingly perilous. Hence the retinues you see before you. I accept that. Peril is a fact of war, and our unfortunate decline."
"And to think," said Medjuson, a wry smile on his face, "I summoned you all here to challenge your commitment to this cause."
"We follow it,"
said Kernag, his answer natural, without doubt.
"The Iron Tenth shall have purpose again, but not to serve the personal ends of any war leader."
Medjuson felt his teeth clench. "They've been planning this, a way to remove me." He looked to Org, but the Iron Father remained impassive and only listened. Rort revealed the truth of it at last, although, judging by the frequency of his mechanized ticks, Arkborn desperately wanted to speak. Medjuson wondered if the others had ordered his silence after his mildly deranged comments on the Ironheart's bridge.
"Our purpose is to serve the will of the Gorgon,"
uttered Rort.
"You have said as much before."
Medjuson glanced at the Iron Father of Clan Felg.
"Or at least one of your order has."
He stepped forwards again, clear of his counsel, a deliberate move to show his dominance. Only then did he notice the tracked weapon mounts quietly following his every move. Medjuson remained undaunted, but wondered again where all of this was leading.
I hoped then that the venerable Iron Father of Clan Fell could let his injuries affect his good sense, or that he spoke in reference to the fact that we shall always serve the Gorgon's will, by dint of being his sons.
He looked around at the automata in his midst, and the cold eyes of the immortals, death sworn to their Iron Fathers by binding oaths of penance. His gaze alighted last on the four freighters, those who stood in apparent judgment of him, Medjuson now realized. It had all the makings of a trial, this meeting, or worse, a gladiatorial engagement.
Ferus Manus is dead, said Medjuson,
surprised at the faint tremor of emotion in his voice. And then Arkborn did speak, and Medjuson knew the words he had said on the bridge of the Iron Heart had not been false, not to the freighter. Worse, Medjuson realized the other Iron Fathers believed them too.
The Gorgon lives!
Medjuson stared a moment at Arkborn, incredulous, then frowned, dismissing the madness that had just spilled from the Iron Father's mouth.
Guleg, he began, you cannot believe this.
Rort smiled. He actually smiled, and the expression churned Medjuson's insides with the realization of just how far this insanity went.
Our father has come back to us, Medjuson. And he shall lead the Iron Tenth once more.
You are delusional, Guleg. All of you, Medjuson said aghast, regarding the four, but still acutely aware of the warriors they commanded.
He gestured to Vulcan, who drew back his drake-scale hood as he stepped into the harsh sodium light.
I bring a Primarch. Here, look upon him. You speak of...
He shook his head, dismayed.
I don't know. It is madness to think...
Come no closer, said Rort.
And it took a second for Medjuson to realize he didn't mean him. Every tracked auto-turret turned towards Vulcan, at the same time as a phalanx of immortals marched out to flank him on either side. A score of heavily armed servitors wakened with the grind of servos, their eyes flaring magnesium white, their weapons trained on the Primarch.
I do not know this being.
Rort turned to the Primarch. Imperious, cold.
Nor I,
said Kernag, arms folded. Norsen and Arkborn said the same. Rort stamped the ferrule of his long-hafted power axe against the arena floor. The blow echoed, almost a pronouncement, the declaration of a verdict.
An imposter stands before us. Vulcan is dead.
Vulcan lives!
Neuros unsheathed his sword without hesitation, stopping just short of reaching for his Volkite caliver and really spoiling proceedings.
Brother,
Lumak warned, but his grip had tightened around the hilt of his weapon.
I have a sword name for you, son of Ferus,
said Neuros, almost growling.
Betrayal! Is that to be it?
I shall do us both a service and pretend you did not utter that just now.
Lumak,
Neuros... Medjuson began, thinking he might have to intervene, when a resounding clang of metal arrested everyone's attention. Even the immortals gave pause. A hammer laid before the two councils. Heavy. Artisanal. Vulcan held out his hands, palms upwards. No shackles the Iron Fathers possessed could hold him. The gesture was symbolic.
Peace, said Vulcan, his deep voice calm. The Iron Father is right. You do not know me, and none here you trust can vouch for my provenance.
Rort slowly nodded, then gestured to two of his immortals. The faceless warriors unstrapped their breacher shields so they could retrieve Vulcan's hammer. It needed both to lift it, the strain required evident in their trembling limbs.
It's called Erdrakul, said Vulcan,
following the immortals with his gaze.
It means the burning hand. Be aware that I know every scratch on it.
Despite himself, Neuros gave Lumak a less poisonous glance, and Medjuson felt some of the tension ease.
Your blade, Neuros, said Vulcan,
still watching the immortals as they lumbered. The Primarch's sworn warriors had remained disciplined throughout, but Medjuson recognized in them a readiness to fight if the need arose. A dull scrape of metal against a leather scabbard echoed a moment later. Medjuson turned to face Vulcan's accusers, ignoring the scores of weapons trained upon him and his shattered legion brethren.
"What now, then, Freitas? You declare the Lord of Drakes false and claim our dead father reborn. How long have you harbored these beliefs? Am I next to face judgment?"
Norsen sneered, and the hypocrisy of it sickened Medjuson.
"It has already been made where you are concerned, Terran."
Kerneg unfolded his arms to rest a hand on the pommel of his blade. That, too, was symbolic.
"Shadrach Smith is no Medjuson. You have been reckless," said Rort at last. "Even you must concede that."
"Risks must be taken, Guleg," Medjuson replied. "To do anything other is to hide and embrace extinction. Surely you can see that."
Rort nodded.
"I seek neither. I counsel only temperance. We must wait."
"For what? The longer we vacillate, the closer our enemies come to finding us."
"You must understand, Medjuson. We wait not to make a decision. Our purpose is already forged. We wait for him."
"What is this?" asked Medjuson, and saw Vulcan tense. The Primarch observed a pensive silence.
"Step down as war leader," Rort demanded, "and let the Iron Fathers take temporary command of the Legion. Step down, Medjuson," he said, anger colouring his words.
"Or face your consequences?" Medjuson asked, unimpressed at Rort's sudden bravado. "You would attack a Primarch? Are you mad?"
"I know not what he is. It would not be the first time traitors have come to us wearing the colours of allies. A bitter lesson well learned that I do not intend to repeat. Step down."
"That was Istvan."
"I saw him die, Medjuson, consumed by a nuclear fire."
"And our father had his head cut from his shoulders. Why believe one miracle and not the other?"
Rort paused. A flicker of emotion made his pale cheek twitch.
"I could ask the same of you."
Medjuson clenched and unclenched his fists, trying to maintain composure. A lapse in discipline now could prove extremely costly.
"This is treason. Against throne. Against emperor. Against imperium," he said. "You renege on your oaths, Guleg."
Rort beat a fist against his chest.
"I uphold them. I commit treason against you alone, war leader, a man whose authority I do not recognize."
"Org, counsel your fellow freighters," said Medjuson, "and I shall see past this grotesque lapse in reason."
Org did not answer. Medjuson frowned, confused.
"Jebez?"
"I cannot."
"What did you say, brother?" Org turned to stand alongside the other Iron Fathers.
"I said, I cannot. This is the Gorgon's will, Shadrach. I could not go against it, even if I wanted to."
Rort stepped aside. So did Norsen and Kerneg. Arkborn took some gentle urging, unwilling to be parted from the figure that loomed behind them, cloaked in shadows until that moment. There was time for one last piece of theatre then. Org's face became still as marble, as whatever fraternity Medjuson once knew with him hardened too.
"We are the cult of the Gorgon, as we have been since Istvan. Ferus Manus lives."
Org stepped aside, and the figure upon the throne behind him moved into the light.